Pastor Lane Stockton.
Good morning. Good to be here in God's house. I'm glad all of you have chosen Lock Haven Baptist Church this morning to worship it. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you so much for being with us this morning. If you're a returning visitor, thank you also for being with us. Please be in prayer for those that are away, sick. We still have several that are sick, that are not here. And we've had some that had surgery, some that were in the hospital, some that are out, and some that are back. So a lot of people that are under the weather, and that should be no surprise. We just had our 2 days of winter this past weekend, and everybody else is still snowed under. Glad to have folks from up north visiting with us from Canada and Pennsylvania today. Thank you for being with us this morning. Don't forget, this weekend, the men's retreat, Friday evening, we'll be leaving at 1 o'clock from here at the church. Friday at 1 o'clock, we'll be leaving from the church, headed up to Georgia. There's still room. If you'd like to go, please let me know. I know that we had the sign-up sheet for a while. Maybe some of you were not sure, but please, if you'd like to go this Friday, men 18 years and up, we'd love to have you. And then March, the first weekend in March, the ladies' retreat. They will be leaving on a Friday, headed to Palm Bay, West Palm Bay. And if you would like to go to that, there's still one or two spaces available for that. Ladies, I think they have 15 or 14 signed up to go. And I think there's still room for one or two more if you'd like to go. Please see my wife on that. And we'll be in Luke chapter 22 this morning. Don't forget the nursing home ministry right after church today. We'll be going down to the Consulate Nursing Home, spending the afternoon with those folks over there. If you'd like to go and never been to that before, we'd love to have you come along with us on that. That'd be a blessing to have you. We will first head out to do a bite to eat as a group. We'll be going over to CC's near Oak Street, the corner of Oak Street and 192. That's CC's today. I don't know the name of that little mall thing, but I think most of you know what Mill Creek Mall. There we'll be going to get a bite to eat there, and then we'll head over to the nursing home from there. And if you're not able to go to the nursing home and like to just come get a bite to eat with us, that's where we'll be at over there together. I think that's about it. Don't forget choir practice tonight. And parts play. Parts will be 5 o'clock with Jim. Which group?
All the ladies.
All the ladies, 5 o'clock this evening. If you could be here at choir practice, that'd be a blessing. So y'all can go over the parts of that. And if you have not joined the choir and you've thought about it, would like to be a part of it, please see Brother Jim. I'm sure that he might give you some extra homework, get you caught up, and you can be a part of that as well. Love to have as many as we can singing in the choir and getting the cantata ready for the Resurrection Sunday coming up and around the corner. It's not long. It'll be here. Luke chapter 22, verse number 48, if you would. I apologize for the lengthy amount of advertisement about things going on in the church, but if we don't put it out there and you don't know about it, it's our fault. So we have to keep it in front of you. We have to let you know what's going on. Luke chapter number 22, verse 48. We're going to read down to verse 54. When we get to verse 54, if you'd all read verse 54 with me together, that would be a blessing. We'll be in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 48. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered, said, suffer ye thus far? And he touched his ear and healed him. Verse 52. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and the captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against the thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, But this is your hour and the power of the darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. This morning we're going to talk about and have the thought in mind, following afar. Following afar. Now, there's many different reasons that would cause somebody to follow the Lord Jesus Christ at a distance. It's a mixture of things, kind of like Peter. Peter had a strange mixture. If you studied his character, of strength, weaknesses, courage, and at some points even cowardice. So I don't know what is your reason or what's causing you to follow afar today. You say, well, preacher, I may be like John the Beloved. I'm leaning upon the bosom of the Lord. So I'm near and dear to him. So I don't need this message. It's probably for someone else. I think I'll just take a nap this morning. I really don't need to hear about following afar, because my walk, I'm really close upon the Lord. I would warn you and ask heed to you that you're probably standing in your own strength, amen, your own confidence. I take heed lest you fall. Amen. So every message may not directly hit you this morning, but it is food for thought down the road. Amen. And so if you'd follow along with me, we're going to look at this and see for ourselves what manner of person Peter was. Now, I'm telling you, when you study the life of Peter, Peter is a character that many times, most of the time, would bring amazement to you. I mean, you'd look at his life, you'd study him out, and you would see how he interacted with the Lord and did things with the Lord, his mannerisms. But then there's other times you would look at him in wonder. Not in amazement, but in wonder, how did this happen? How, at this point, did Peter get to where he was followed afar? Not long before this, when the Lord Jesus had made it known to his disciples in Matthew chapter 18 that he would be taken of the elders and the scribes, and he would be persecuted and even put to death, Peter took the Lord and shook him and rebuked him and said, this shall not be. This will not be. And at that point, Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. And so the hour, then you know about the day of Pentecost, for sure. You know, he stood up and preached, and thousands were saved and added to the Lord's church there in that day. And then another time, Peter, after this here portion of Scripture, after he denied the Lord and even got to the point where he cursed at those that were around him, the Bible talks about Peter going fishing, and he went off and said, listen, I've washed my hands of the ministry. I'm done. So the amazement is there, like here when he takes the sword and smites off the ear. Then the wonderment of the denial. So we're going to look at this. We're going to see Peter and look at him. Mainly we're going to look at the causes. What would cause someone to follow afar? First, I would say that if you're following afar and you're not saved, you need to be born again. You're not really following. You're curious. You're looking on. And I'm telling you, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, there's none righteous. No, not one. The grace of God has appeared to all men. So if you're not saved this morning, what do you mean saved, preacher? I mean that there's been a time in your life that you realized that you were a sinner and you had fallen short of the Lord's glory, and that you had never had a moment in your life where you turned to God in repentance and faith towards Christ Jesus, and a work of righteousness took place in your heart. You need to be born again. But if you've been saved, I mean, there's been that moment in your life that you have trusted Christ, and you've put your faith and trust in the finished work of the cross of Calvary and the atoning blood of Christ, and you're following afar. That's what it says about Peter. Verse 54, Peter followed afar off. Peter followed. Now, what are some of the reasons? What's some of the causes? I would say first and foremost, mainly is the fear of men. The fear of men. Peter was definitely afraid. They were taking the Lord. They were going to put him into the inner house of the priest. They were going to try him in this here puppet court. Now, the fear of men, according to the Word of God in Proverbs, bringeth a snare. But the fear of men many times causes us as New Testament believers to follow afar. Well, give me some examples. Well, you have a family reunion, a get-together of friends, maybe not even a family reunion, maybe you have a birthday party. There's a birthday party, and you will avoid every opportunity that's there before you to make known of your walk with the Lord. Perhaps it's at work. Perhaps there's somebody that is going through a difficult hour in their life. And listen, a lot of times friends turn to us for advice and for help and for direction. And they turn to you, but because there is other friends around you or other co-workers around you, you fail to share the true hope of the world, Christ Jesus. You offer some opinions. You offer some help. You say, well, you know, everybody has difficulty in marriage. Well, everybody has financial problems. Everybody has, and it's all general because of the fear of me. What are they going to think about? So Peter followed afar off because he feared me. And many times I'm telling you, friend, we lose great opportunities to share Christ with folks because of the fear of men. The other night, Brother Jim and I was out knocking doors, and we'd gone past one house. The lady would not come to the door and talk with us. It was kind of late, and I understand that, so we just put it on the door. We went on about our business, and others, as a matter of fact, the whole cul-de-sac, I think there was only two that were not home, but the other ones opened the door and talked with us and seemed very friendly. But we got to the other side of the cul-de-sac, and this particular woman come out, and she began to yell across the cul-de-sac about what we were doing was wrong and we shouldn't be doing it, and you know, it was private property and so forth. And you know, it'd been easy, dear friend, to have the fear of men and get back in the vehicle and go. It'd be real easy to say, well, you know, solicitation is a problem. The problem is we are not soliciting. And so we was kind to her. I told her, thank you very much for your help. And we only had three more houses left yet to go. And we went on and finished those up and talked to them. But many times, the fear of men keeps us from sharing Christ. I'm not talking about breaking laws. I'm talking about just being fearful. Fearful that, you know, if I talk to somebody about Christ and my walk with Christ, they're going to think me as strange. They're going to think me peculiar. They're going to think that I'm a little bit hung up on this Jesus thing. And that I really need Jesus just as a crutch. And so we walk afar off. I'm not talking about not being saved. I'm talking about our walk with Christ is not what it should be and could be and needs to be because we fear what grandma may say or aunt or uncle may say or what Johnny may say at the hunting club or Susie at the sewing club or Bill at the gym or you know Carl at the workplace. We fear what they may think of us because it may hinder our relationship with them. I'm telling you, dear friend, you cannot have a true relationship with others around you without a proper walk with Christ because you will be miserable as God's child walking afar off. Well, how do you know that? Because it got to the point where Peter was cussing at him. It got to the point that Peter was so miserable that he just cussed strangers out. I've heard of husbands and wives cussing each other out in the middle of an argument. I've heard children fussing and fighting, cussing each other. But very rarely, Brother James, do I ever see somebody walk up to a perfect stranger. Hey, how's your day? Do you know this person? Blankety, blankety, what? I just don't see it. unless you're real miserable. Peter got so miserable walking afar off. Not only did he come to the point of cursing him, he come to the point of actually denying his own Savior. So the first thing I tell you would be the fear of men. Secondly, if you turn to 1 John chapter 3, what causes us to walk afar off from the Lord? 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. The Bible says there in 1 John chapter 3 verse 17, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother hath need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in what? Truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. I'm telling you that there's the fear of men. And secondly, there is the want of love. I mean, sometimes we look at people without the compassion of God in our life, without the compassion of Christ. The Bible says here, how can we look at our brethren? Now it's talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. How do I know that I'm a brother? Because I have passed from death unto life because I love the brethren. In 1 John, you can find that. And you look at somebody with need. You look at somebody that has some need that you can meet. I don't know what need it might be. Physical, financial, emotional, spiritual. I don't know. There's a lot of people that can meet some spiritual needs if we spend time just talking with people, with them. Emotional needs. Just have an ear to hear their hurt. Sometimes you don't have to say nothing. Just have an ear to hear. Listen to the pain that is there and the difficulties going through them. And so there's that lack of love that is in us that causes us to have a walk that is far off from Christ. Why would that be? Because Christ is love. How can I do unto the least of these my brethren when I lack the love and compassion that Christ really has? So that I don't have this love, or the reason I don't have this love is because my walk is afar off. Listen, you heard the old saying that the fruit falls not too far from the tree or something like that. The fruit falls close to the tree. What is it? What's it saying? The apple doesn't fall. Well, I'm going to tell you, dear friend, the love of Christ is not down the road 6 miles. The love of Christ is next to his heart. And if your walk with him is not side by side, allowing him to lead you, you will lack the compassion and love that you should have. So our walk afar from Christ is because many times we lack the love that we should have. Well, they can't do anything for me. So why should I be concerned with them? Well, what good out of this conversation is going to be for me? What can I get from this? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And I'm telling you, His return on investment, if we look at it down the road, it hasn't been too good on us. God invested His only begotten Son into my life, and I've yet to give Him back a portion of what He's done for me. God's love. And I lack love. I lack that walk with Him because I'm missing the love that He has for others. So there's the fear of men, and there's the lack of love, and then there's the weakness in our faith. There's that. You know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. That's a lack of faith. I'm not talking about being saved. We're past that. If you're lost this morning, you didn't know Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, walking with Him down the road and musing with Him around Scripture is not going to do you any good until you meet Him at the cross of Calvary. We're talking about our walk after the cross. We're talking about our walk after salvation. We're talking about after knowing that I am His child and still walking afar off. I believe sometimes that we get to the point that we know we believe, but we're not willing enough to humble ourselves before Him and ask Him to help us in our unbelief. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this situation. I cannot see the end in this relationship. Will you help me to see the end in this relationship? Help thou my unbelief. Lord, I don't know how we're going to get through this time period in our life. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in my life, Lord. I know I'm Your child. And I know that I'm I'm born again. I know my name's written down in heaven, Lord. But I can't see down this road. Help thou my unbelief. How do I get help? I'm not going to get help if I'm walking afar off. I believe many times that the reason my walk is afar off is because I'm not willing to ask the Lord and humble myself and ask for help in those times that I do not know how to believe. Preacher, that's quite impossible. Oh, really? When I don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit of God prays for me. When I don't know how to come to God in prayer and lift somebody up and intercede on their behalf, the Holy Spirit of God, if I'll humble myself before Him, will pray for me. So if He'll pray for me, He'll help me in my unbelief. All I got to do is be willing to come to Him and to walk with Him and to be near to Him. So I believe there's the fear of men. I do believe there's that lack of love that we really should have. I believe there's the weakness in my faith that I'm not willing to admit. And I believe also, number four, there's that bucket of carnality, of worldliness that I will not let go of. I won't relinquish it. I just got to have it in my way. It's me and what I want. It's not what nobody else cares. Lord, I'm not surrendering this to You. I desire this and I want it. Amen. Amen. Love the world. The love of the Father is not in. And that carnality, that draw of the world, that which we will not yield to the Lord, keeps us far off. I'm telling you, dear friend, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. He moves not. He's fixed. If we want to get near to Him, there are some things, dear friend, we need to shovel out of the way. There are some things that we need to let go of that are holding us back. There are some things The fear of men, the lack of love that we should have, the weakness of faith, the carnality that's there. Well, I just enjoy this world. Enjoy the world? Ask yourself, what's the world done for you lately? Oh, I know it brings some instant gratifications. I know there's some instant pleasures. But dear friend, we have to understand something, that we're not going to always live upon this world. Matter of fact, the Bible says, this world as we know it shall be passed away with. What we, as God's children, as His people, have to understand that there's going to come a time where we're going to spend eternity with Him. He's going to prepare a place for us, according to John chapter 14. And He's making that place and fixing it up, and He's been doing it for quite some time. And that which is yet to come, that I have not seen, hear, and not heard to have. And this world sucks us in. and draws us away. And the love of this world keeps us from walking with the Lord. And here's the last one, and we're going to get into the results of this here walk. I believe many Christians in the day which we live in have some kind of misconception of what Christ really requires of His people. Well, preacher, it's all about faith. Long as I believe that He is the Son of God and that He is my Savior, that's all that really matters. The rest is my life to live. Preacher, I believe and I trust that Christ is my Savior, and how I live from this point to eternity really doesn't matter. I think we need to go back, dear friend, and get along with John chapter 15 a little while. John chapter 15, if you would, we'll just skim through a little bit of it. John 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. Verse 1. John chapter 15 and verse number 1. I'm just being honest with you. Christ desires and requires some walk of attachment with Him. It's all right here. I am the true vine, but my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me. That's an attachment. That's what Christ desires. He desires more than faith. He desires that we be attached to Him. I dare say unto you, dear friend, if you had trees in your yard and you hired somebody to come by to cut some of the limbs off, and they showed up out there and they cut, you know, trim this side, trim that side, and there was only about three limbs left on there, and they were laying on the ground, you would say and agree with me that those branches are no longer attached to the tree. But how many Christians are not attached to the tree? Abide in me, and I in you. Not only do I believe that Christ desires an attachment, I believe Christ desires service, dear friend. He said, I come to serve. I send you forth as sheep, led to the slaughter. Listen, I'm ministering. I'm teaching you how to minister. I believe that you should serve. How many Christians serve? When's the last time you think of yourself? When's the last time that you served someone else? Not somebody served you. But when's the last time that you reached out and served someone else? Not only that, I believe that Christ desires and requires self-denial. What did He say? Take up your cross and follow me. I believe we're going past just faith, dear friend. We're going past just believing in Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I believe that Christ desires for us to be involved in His work. And so while we're involved, well, preacher, not everybody can be preachers. That's the problem. For too many years, we've tried to force people into being preachers when we need workers in construction jobs and roofing jobs and milk jobs and Walmarts and Walgreens and hospitals that are God-fearing people. Not everybody can be a preacher. If we was all preachers, we'd all just be up here on top of the pulpit and all we would do is have preachers instead of workers in God's field, in God's... Listen, allow God to call your children to the ministry. Allow God to move them in that direction if He does desire. But I'm going to tell you, friend, we've missed the point whenever we think the only way to serve God full time is in the ministry. We've lost it. That's why our church members leave church on Sunday morning and then they go to work. They say, well, I was at church. That was full time at church. So I live like I want out here. And we make no difference in this world. We're to be the salt of the world. We need godly, God-fearing people in every aspect of life. Self-denial. I do believe honestly that Christ requires an open, wide open acknowledgement of Him. Help me out, preacher. I don't get that. If we do not... How does the scripture go? I just lost it. If I don't confess Him before men, that's open. He's not going to confess me to who? His Father. I don't know any other way of that. That's open acknowledgement that I'm His child. There's a misconception of what being a Christian and a child of God really is. It's more than knowing Christ in your heart, dear friend. That is the chief cornerstone. Without salvation, dear friend, you will burn in the devil's hell. But once you know Christ as your Savior and there's a work of righteousness which took place in your heart, dear friend, He desires that we have an attachment to Him. Abide in me. Self-denial. Take up my cross. Hey, open knowledge. Confess me. Service. Not only a service, a zealous service for the Lord. What's keeping us from having a right relationship, a proper walk? I don't think we really understand what Christ really requires of us. Okay, there's the causes of the far walk. Here's the results. Following afar off, dear friend, is the beginning of a dreadful fall. Jesus is here. I fear men, so I'm here. I've got Him in sight. I lack the love and the compassion I should have because over there is where I find out how to really love. But I'm over here, so which moves me further away. But then the carnality over here is strong. My unbelief is pulling me. I believe in Christ. He's there. And the misconception, well, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. My name's written in heaven, so everything's okay. And we keep moving. And Jesus stays the same. And we get all the way over on the edge. And the next step is a fall. Oh, it was just a little fall. And another fall. Your walk with Christ, if you're not walking with Him, dear friend, you are headed for a fall. No, preacher, I've got this covered. I've got it. I know what I'm doing. No, we don't. We do not. Go to Proverbs real quick. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter 11. Look at three verses real quick in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 2. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 16, 18. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29, 23. Proverbs 29 and verse number 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall hold the humble in spirit. I'm telling you something. He followed in the distance, dear friend, and so much that it came to the heinous point of his life that he denied the actual Savior of his soul. This is not where Peter wanted to be. But the cause of this was because Peter followed afar. We don't read about John the Beloved denying him. Hey, the distance, dear friend, of following it is often and most often followed by losing vision. How many of you know when military vehicles are traveling at night, they travel generally in the combat theater. They travel in the plight of darkness. And they have little bitty markers on the back of their vehicles. What's those markers called? Any of the military guys here know what they call? Sir? The blackout lights, but they're a little bitty. When that little blackout light hits it, it makes a reflection. Anyway, there's two on either side. And when you're at the proper distance, there's two of them. When you're too close, it's solid. When you're too far, you lose sight. I remember being out in the Mojave Desert back in 1989. And we were traveling at night. We were going from one part of the desert to the other. And our lieutenant was leading behind the battalion XO. And we were all following him. When we rode all night long till the sun came up. When the sun came up, there was no battalion XO in front of the lieutenant. He got too far behind and lost his way. When we start walking afar, the draw and pull of this world is greater. The flesh is weaker, and we begin to pull and pull until we lose sight. How many of you know people that you knew without a shadow of doubt that those people had confessed Christ, and they're no longer? No longer in any church of any kind or service for God whatsoever. Why? Walking afar. They lost sight. The lights of the world are greater. Okay, the second thing, dear friend, I believe is even more sad than I can imagine. Is people coming to church and being in the house of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But their walk with the Lord is so far away, there's no joy in their walk for Christ. They've lost the joy. They're just here just to be here. Christians may follow Christ and know them as their personal Lord and Savior, dear friend. But the distance, without that side-by-side, day-by-day walk with Him, this world robs you of that joy. You just come to church just to come to church to please people. You know what that goes back to? Fearing men. What will the church think if I don't come to church? And why don't we ask this? What does the Lord think? That should be the question. Not what people think. Oh, I love it when people, I'm glad you're here. But we need to ask, Lord, what do you think about my service for you? That joy is gone and we've lost it. Let me tell you, friend, when you lose that joy, you generally lose your usefulness for God's service. Why is that? Have you ever been in a lull in your Christian walk whenever something was announced? We need help in this, we need help for that. Do you ever remember being the first one to volunteer? Or did you really didn't care if it got done or not? But I'll tell you, when you're joyful and you're happy, you're excited about what's going on, You're walking with the Lord, you're side by side. You see this as the Lord's work and not man's work. It's the Lord's house. It's the Lord's church. And you see it as His house. Something is mentioned and man, you're Johnny on the spot. Because that joy, deep down in my soul, comes bubbling out. I get to do something for the Lord. Afar off. Let's stand.